Well, good morning, one and all, into the house of the Lord. Great to be here together, and especially to have a special visitor, Mom. Thank you for coming back.
This is still home.
No, it's so wonderful to have you back home, Mom. And Tony and Barbara, thank you for coming and bringing Mom, and it's always such a joy to have you with us as well. And I know you were officially probably welcomed when we were away, but I'll do it again, Rachel and Brother Peter. It's so good to see you after a long while. I assume we have some greetings from Mansfield.
Yeah, greetings from Mansfield.
Thank you. And
Violetta and Ken sent special greetings here. We visited them and they...
How wonderful, Violetta and Ken and family. And I saw a picture that was taken, and boy, those kids are getting big. Wow, my goodness. So, yeah, wonderful that you could unite with them. Any other greetings?
I spoke to Sister Svetlana.
Mm-hmm. Palnacki. Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Appreciate that. So, real quickly, I have an update from Max Limegruber on Ellie, and some of you may have already seen that, but if you haven't, I will have that attached on the email on Tuesday. It's a rather lengthy update, so I'll just commend that to your reading. Most important thing is prayer on her behalf. Today we'll have a song service following lunch. And just real quickly, a few updated dates coming up. Importantly, Friday coming up this week is the clothing swap from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. I believe that Sister Katie is sending out an email with some instructions or more details on that for everyone. Also, next Sunday, we'll have Brother Caleb and Brother Micah. Is that Caleb's brother? Caleb is coming to review our audio equipment, all of our technology in the church, and actually be here on Saturday and spend some time with the brothers on what we're doing today. And then they want to be here on Sunday to observe how we use technology. And the whole purpose behind that is to advise us as we wish to upgrade our technology services here at church. September 11th, that's a Wednesday, will be our first Wednesday midweek Bible study. And we'll have a special guest, Brother Fred Weinhart, and his son will be coming on business, but will be attending our, not only attending, but teaching our Wednesday night service, Bible study rather, on September 11th. And again, that, mark it on your calendar, will be our first Wednesday Bible study as we resume from the summer break. Let's see. And then, of course, just a reminder, September 29th, we have the trustees here. We're hosting the foundation trustees. Anything else I may have missed? Anyone? And let's pray for Brother Harry as he would bring God's word to us today. And we'll also have a hymn, and that would be Zion's Harp number 237. Let's sing all verses. Let us all in peace and concord.
Thank you. Good morning again. Let's bow to pray. Father, we come before you again with thankful hearts that you have brought us to this place. We thank you that you've called us out from our daily cares and concerns to this place, that we could open your word, that we could study it, that we could fellowship together, that we can praise your holy name. It's you that we serve. We dare not serve anybody else or anything else. We need to serve you. And daily remind us what it means to serve you, to put aside our earthly treasures and to focus on you. We thank you for everyone that's here this day. We thank you for those that are coming via Zoom, that you would bless all of us because you have called us to this place. And we look into your word for guidance and strength and just all that we need. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here with us now, and we pray this in your holy name. Amen. I'm going to continue the lesson, our series in the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 6. And I'm going to start at verse 1, though we'll focus on verses 22 to 24. Matthew 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and though thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. I've read through verse 24. The first 18 verses here in Matthew 6, Jesus teaches about different acts of faith, commendable acts of faith. Giving of alms, helping those that are in need, prayer, speaking with the Father, and fasting, a more focused time of prayer. But Jesus pointed out that the religious leaders of his time were doing these things to be seen of men. They were doing them for the wrong motives. The religious leaders were deceiving the people. They were appearing pious, righteous, holy by their acts to be seen of men. And Jesus warns them, the disciples, and us, don't be like them. We should do these things because of our love and wanting to be close to our Heavenly Father. Jesus said, do these things in a way that would glorify the Father, not us. In verses 19 and 24, Jesus talks about deceiving ourselves. I'll read that again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Last month we looked in detail at verses 19 to 21 regarding treasures. You could label those verses, what do we seek? They ask, what do you treasure? What do you value? Maybe a better question is, whom do you treasure? Do we treasure our Heavenly Father? Do we treasure the Creator or the created, the creation? Do we treasure Him because we know we'll go to heaven with Him? If we do, that's a wrong motive also. We should treasure Him because of who He is. There is nothing that we should treasure more than our Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to treasure Him with our whole being. And I think that's what David did. He treasured the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh. David treasured the Lord. And we can read that in his Psalms. And those Psalms contain some difficult things that David went through, but also some glorious things that David went through because he had a relationship with the Father in heaven. But when David treasured something on earth, Bathsheba, he ended up sinning and suffering greatly. And we know the story. But thankfully, he repented of his failings and renewed his relationship with the Lord. Psalm 51 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. David truly was a man after God's own heart. So let's focus on starting in verse 22 here. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? These verses could be labeled, what do we seek? What do we see? Sorry. And these verses almost seem out of place here. The first 19 to 21 dealt with treasuring things, and 24 goes back to treasuring things. You know, who do we serve? This almost seems out of place. But it really isn't. It's just another way of God talking about what we treasure. There are dozens of references where Jesus healed the blind. We know specifically where men are named, but there are many places where it says Jesus healed the blind. Okay, and more importantly, though, he healed the spiritually blind. We use our eyes to perceive the world around us. And from one statistic I read, 80% of what we perceive is through the eyes. I didn't know it was that high. I mean, the other senses are also, hearing would be the next sense that people use, but 80% are through the eyes. Last year, I had cataract surgery in both of my eyes. And before that surgery, things were getting darker and blurrier. And it was getting difficult to drive at night. The oncoming headlights, the halos around the headlights, it was tough, okay? My eyes were no longer healthy. In verse 22, Jesus says, our eyes need to be single. Now that's an old King James term, okay? Newer translations use the term clear, good, or healthy. Right after my cataract surgery, I had swelling in both of my retinas. This caused my eyesight to be worse than before the surgery, and it was frustrating. I needed eye drops for months to be able to clear up that swelling. And if it didn't clear for eye drops, he was going to have to give me eye injections. I didn't want that. Okay. Anyway, that's all in the past. So now with my new lenses and no more swelling, my vision has improved greatly and colors are vibrant again. They weren't before. When our physical eyes are healthy, then we can see clearly. We can see things around us. And therefore, as a result of being able to see, our heart, our lives can function properly. In the same way, our spiritual eyes need to see clearly too, so that our spiritual lives can function properly. In verse 23, Jesus talks about an evil eye. Newer translations use the term bad. Just when I had my cataracts, I had bad eyesight, so I could not see clearly. But thankfully, that's all past. And now my vision has improved. Jesus gave us a parable in Matthew 20. There was a landowner who needed helpers in his vineyard. So he went, and at 6 a.m., he called day laborers to come, and he says, I'll pay you for a full day's worth of work, which is 12 hours, and I'll give you a penny, the King James says, but newer translations say denarius, a day's wage. And they agreed to that, and they went to work. At 9 a.m., he went out to the market again and found more workers. Why aren't you working? Come work in my vineyard. I'll pay you the right amount, whatever that is. And he went out again at 12. He went out again at 3. He kept hiring more workers. He even went out at 5 p.m. and hired additional workers. And they all went to the vineyard to work. At 6 o'clock, day was over. They all came to collect their wages for the day. And the landowner paid the ones who were hired last first. And he gave them all a denarius, a day's wage. So the one who worked for 1 hour got a day's wage. The one who worked for 3 hours got a day's wage, etc. And the one who worked 12 hours got a day's wage. Well, those workers that worked all day in the sun were not very happy. They grumbled. This isn't fair. How can you do this to us? And he went to them and says, I paid you what we agreed to. We agreed to a denarius for your 12 hours, and I paid you for that. And then he goes in verse 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? He accused these workers who worked the whole day of having an evil eye. What did that mean? They focused on the treasure the other workers received. And that blinded them. They did not like the fact that this landowner was gracious and generous with the laborers, whether they worked 1 hour or 12 hours. It wasn't fair. There was darkness in the hearts of those laborers. And I must admit, if it was me, I'd probably act the same way. Wait a minute, how can this be right? Another little story. After working at work for 5 or so many years, whatever it was, we needed somebody with more technical expertise. It's called VSAN, but that's many years ago. Anyway, we didn't know anything about it, or little about it. So we hired somebody, and they ended up working for me. I don't remember what my salary was. All I remember that he earned more than me, and he was working for me. And I admit, that did not sit well with me. Now, he was the expert. I wasn't. But still, it took a while for me to accept the fact that he deserved that more money than I did, even when he was working for me. Okay? Little side story that is. But having an evil eye is when when the Father gives benefits to those that we think don't deserve those benefits. We're not looking from a biblical spiritual point of view. We're looking from a monetary earthly point of view. Wait a minute. They don't deserve that. I deserve more. If you're going to give them that, I deserve more. That's wrong. We have to be careful that we don't allow the world thinking to blur our vision of who Jesus is and how he wants to bless everyone. If we focus on the things of this world, the treasures, as we had read before in verses 19 to 21, our vision is distorted, and then there ends up darkness being in our hearts. And that darkness can be overwhelming. And I think you might know a person who lives in that darkness. Jesus concludes this section here with verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. this verse can be labeled, what do we serve? Jesus is basically saying there are two choices in life. You can serve God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Or you can serve mammon. Newer translations say wealth or money. Okay? As Paul said in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Here Jesus is telling us that we are all servants. Everything we do, we will be a servant to something or someone. We have to decide who we are servants to. Are we servants of this world, where we treasure someone or the things of this earth? If we do, if that's our focus in life, then as we read before, then we will err from the faith. Or do we treasure our Heavenly Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? I performed one wedding, and one of the phrases that is used in a wedding is forsaking all others as long as you both shall live. I think that's a good summary for these verses. We need to forsake everything else so that we can stay focused on the one who loves us and on the one whom we love, our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ. If we see our eyes wandering off of that, we need to refocus and go back to that one relationship. It's impossible to serve two masters. Somewhere during my work history, I had a boss, and then somebody thought they were really smart and made me dotted line to another person. So I had one boss, but I was dotted line. And it was interesting when my boss came and said, I need this done in 3 days. And then 2 hours later, the dotted line person said, I need this done in 3 days. Wait a minute, I can't do both of these things in 3 days. I might have tried, but it's impossible to do. I can't serve two masters. Something has to be a priority. Which one, you know, wins? So I had to go to my boss and says, well, so-and-so said I should do this, and you asked me to do this. Which one is the right one to do? Okay, so they had to talk with that other person to figure out which one is truly the priority. You can't serve two masters. You can try, but you'll end up failing if you do. And that's what Jesus is saying here. We cannot serve God and money, wealth, ourselves, someone else that is not God. We can't do that. It's not going to work. We will fail at it. And again, when we fail at it, we are the ones who end up paying the price for that. God's not hurt by that. He's disappointed. We're the ones who are hurt by that. Let me go back and read these references again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light of that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We need to think this through almost every single day. Who am I serving today? Who is my master today? am I serving myself? Am I serving this world system? Am I serving the Lord Jesus Christ? So I ask myself these three questions. What do I seek? What do I see? What do I serve? The answer to all of those three questions must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close with singing hymn number 5 from our hymnal. Hymn number 5.
A big grin on my face. Daniel and Damien are here. Hey, welcome. And Daniel, to your left, maybe Peter, you could introduce her.
Is my stepson Richard.
Oh, your stepson Richard. Okay, Richard, welcome to the three of you. Damien, do you get shy on us all of a sudden? You're hiding back there. Hey, it is so good to see you. Welcome, 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 Richard. Good to meet you. Well, we want to thank the Lord for the word that was shared with us today, Brother Phil and Brother Harry. Thank the Lord that we could again sit under the sound of God's teaching and His word today. And what a valuable set of lessons that we learned and reinforced in our Christian heart. The notion of wisdom, like as James says, if any of us lack wisdom, we just ask God for it, and He lavishes that upon us. And there are times in our lives when, yes, we do lack wisdom. More times in my life than not, I'm lacking God's wisdom, which reinforces the fact that we need to ask for it. And then to have our spiritual perspective aligned with God through vision. You know, vision, our perspective on life is our spiritual vision, how we see and perceive the world around us, and our role, our place in this world around us. and how important it is, as Paul wrote to the Colossians, that we set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And that word affection is so key and so critical. What is affection? Well, I have to ask, what has our heart? What has our thoughts? What has our priority in life? What has our waking moments? When we have nothing else to think about, what are we thinking about is a test to where our affections are. And we thank the Lord for the lesson that we were able to learn and renew in our hearts, that our affection needs to be on things above and not on things upon this earth. And let us go forth with God's grace and mercy and live out our lives in such a way that the affection we have for the Lord and for one another will be infectious, that others will want to know, where do you get that joy? Where do you get that love? Where do you get that affection? And we'll be ready to tell them. I asked Brother Tony to close with prayer and to remember the lunch as well.
We thank you, dear Lord, for another day you blessed us with to come to your house of worship to praise and honor your name. I pray, dear Lord, for a blessing upon our fellowship, our church. Keep us from harm and evil and protect us from Satan. I pray, dear Lord, for our country in these hard times. I pray for those who don't know you as Lord and Savior to be convicted by the power of your Holy Spirit and be led by him. And I pray for the gifts of food that I want to partake of. Bless it to our bodies, bless our conversation, our visiting, and our fellowship. In Christ's name, amen.